Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of the pod. And I'm very excited about this one because I'll be talking to two of my arch rivals from this past quarantine, Darren Till and Dylan Dennis. We went back and forth for several months. Today, we bury the hatchet. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the return of golf. Well, golf has been around for a while, but the first major of 2020 is finally here. And you can get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship August 6th through the 9th on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And since we know that some of you are missing golf, we here at ESPN Radio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you all something very big to look forward to in 2021. Take a listen to this. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiwa Island Golf Resort. The four-day, three-night package for the winner and guest includes round-trip air and hotel at the Sanctuary, a five-star oceanfront hotel on the island, two tickets to the PGA Chalet, and two pairs of Wanamaker Club tickets, two free one-year-long subscriptions to ESPN+, of course, the platform that Chael and I built, where you can stream live coverage of featured holes every weekend, and also get a year of exclusive live sports originals and all the Ariel and Bad Guy that you want. For your chance to win, go to www.espnradiosweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry, one grand prize winner will be selected. Again, visit www.espnradiosweeps.com for official rules. All right, on to today's program. And as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy. Back in your life on this Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the pod. Hope you're doing well. As always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. Like I said at the top, very excited about today's program. Darren Till and Dylan Dennis, two guys that I went back and forth with for months online during the quarantine, helped lift all your spirits. Well, today we bury the hatchet and we talk about everything going on in their lives. Of course, Darren Till coming off that loss to Robert Whittaker, and Dylan Dennis is just trolling everyone in the MMA world. So it's going to be a fun time. Before we get to those conversations, though, a few news and notes right off the bat. Late Tuesday night, we found out that, unfortunately, Yair Rodriguez out of the August 29th main event against Zabit Magomedsharipov. What a great fight this was on paper. Two of the most exciting featherweights in the sport, two of the most exciting fighters in the sport. They've tried to book them multiple times in the past, and for some reason, this is turning into the Khabib Tony version of the featherweights. Unfortunately, the fight isn't happening due to a high ankle sprain suffered by Yair Rodriguez. So the UFC is looking for a late replacement opponent against Zabit. Calvin Kattar has thrown his name into the hat. Of course, they fought in November. That was actually Zabit's last fight, so maybe it's not all that enticing to him, but it is strange times. Charles Rosa has done the same as well. Arnold Allen to a degree as well. Hey, maybe Max Holloway will throw his name into the hat. They are looking for a replacement, so we'll see what happens with that fight. Now, the UFC is back this Saturday. Derek Lewis against Alexei Oleinik. That's the main event. Five-round main event at the UFC Apex. Also of note on this card, the return of Chris Weidman back at 185 after that stumble at 205 against Dominic Reyes back in October, going up against Omari Akhmedov, who's a very tough guy. Maybe not the most well-known guy, but very tough. So that's this Saturday on the platform that Chael and I built, ESPN+. And of course, everyone wondering what's going on with Conor McGregor. Dana White saying a couple days ago that he's not going to fight in 2020. I think this is a travesty. I think the mishandling of Conor's career is the lone blunder for the UFC this year. Let's be very honest right off the top. The UFC has made lemonade out of lemons this year. Everything that they've said that they were going to do in the midst of the pandemic, they've done, and they've done so very well, they deserve a lot of credit. The testing, Fight Island, the Apex events, even Jacksonville, they said they were going to be one of the first back. They were one of the first back. And the fights were a beacon of light, an escape valve for everyone. Everything. I mean, you really can't complain about much when it comes to the UFC this year. Under very trying times, they've come out looking very good. And they've had a successful year as far as merchandise is concerned. Dana White said that they've sold more merchandise this year than all of last year. Ratings are up. Pay-per-view numbers are up. Everything is up except for this. Conor McGregor told us in late 2019 he wanted to fight three times this year. He is healthy. He is staying out of trouble. He is focused. He's on the straight and narrow. And he's only fought for 40 seconds, and that was back in January. How do you not book him against a Tony Ferguson, a Dustin Poirier, a Nathan Diaz, a Jorge Masvidal is beyond me. I'll have more on this topic tomorrow morning, Thursday morning on ESPN.com/MMA. But, you know, I wouldn't put too much stock into the not fighting again. This is all part of the public negotiations. No one believes that he's retired. And so we'll see how it plays out. Right now, they're not talking. I hope they start talking because I don't want to see the dissolution of a relationship that looked to be stronger than ever back in January. So we'll see what happens. One thing we do know, Darren Till's still one of the most beloved fighters in the sport. He was back in action couple weeks ago, lost that fight, but feels like he was a winner. We spoke to him while he was in the pool drinking melon juice, but I think there was some other stuff in there as well. He was in great spirits. It was a great conversation with the one and only Darren Till, and here it is. Enjoy. And now we are being joined by the pride of Liverpool, England, the one and only Darren Till, who we saw just a couple of weeks ago in Abu Dhabi against Robert Whittaker, a tremendous fight. And I do believe he is back in the United Arab Emirates. Is that correct, Darren?
Yeah, just enjoying that sun, mate. I missed it so much.
So wait, you went back to England and then you flew back to UAE?
Yeah, I wanted to have a holiday with my family, but one of my, you know, my newborn, she doesn't have a passport because of the lockdown, so there was a wait. So her grandparents are having her, and me and my girlfriend have just come off for 6 days.
Must be nice over there. You're living the life. What are you drinking?
Melon juice.
Yes, looks good. Virgin, I suppose, right?
Oh, virgin, obviously.
Yes.
Me and you both, Ariel.
That's right, that's right. Are you in the hot tub right now, Darren?
This is where I am, Ariel. Let me just show you guys. How do I turn this around? Oh, yeah, where we go.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, just living, mate. Got my cast off.
Well, before we talk about the scene and the cast, should we address the elephant in the room?
Shall we?
Well, I mean, you know, here we are during quarantine. We're having such a good time. The banter is off the chain, right? It's absolute scenes, right, as you people like to say. And then not once but twice, you left me hanging at the altar. You stood me up. Here I am thinking yeah. I have this personal connection with Darren, that we've reached a point in our friendship and relationship that you would never do such a thing to me, and you left me hanging. Not only did you leave me hanging, you went to do other media, responded to me 4 hours later, and said, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. I mean, what's the excuse?
Do you know what, Ariel? A lot of people like to have excuse and everything. There ain't no excuse, and I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
That's all, man. I have to apologize. What else do you want me to do?
All right.
I'm sorry, Ariel. Come on,
I was
mate.
Hurt.
You know I've got a lot of love for you.
Yes, okay, fine. All right, so we'll move on. Okay. How is the knee?
It's okay. It's the only problem, Ariel. It's okay. But every time I make like a swift movement, I feel it popping. Like, I feel that pop. So, I think that's what the brace is for more than anything. I don't think it's to... I definitely don't need surgery or anything. I don't think I need surgery or anything, but it's just them swift movements. So, today we was in the mall shopping for the kids for presents. And as I was walking around quite a lot, because I was using my other leg for stability, I just felt that little pop. So, that's what the brace is for, to keep the knee where the knee should be. So, that when... If I didn't have the brace, the knee would heal in a different place and would never sort of heal as it should, as the per se. So I think that's what the brace is for 6 weeks, and then physio after. So in 6 weeks, I'm okay. I'm fine. I want to fight like as soon as possible, ASAP.
Okay, so they have told you 100% you won't need surgery for this?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And it's the right or the left?
It's the right.
It's the right. Do you think if this injury doesn't happen, you win the fight?
No, I don't. You know me, Ariel. I don't like to say any things like that. I think the fight was as close as. I think it was a great fight. You know, anyone watching from the outside can say what they want, but until you truly understand the way we were fighting with each other, the feints, it was inside of the octagon. It was really stressful. We're both trying to get someone to overcommit, And I think I landed the more power shots. I think what Rob done was try to steal rounds with like little kicks that didn't mean anything, but they stealed the rounds. Because in the fifth, I thought I won the fifth. I think the takedowns, are they necessarily counted? Because every time I sprung back up. But in that fifth, I would say one thing. If my knee was better, I probably would have been able to defend the takedown. But because at that point here, I was just fighting on pure grip. Because you know me, mate, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, if my knee was better, I would have won the fight. It doesn't work like that. Rob won the fight and that's the end of. You know what? You know how I always say it? I can't sort of... when people give excuses and stuff over things and little things in life and the weight cuts and whatever, it just doesn't cohere with me. You either win a fight or you lose a fight. There ain't no ifs, buts, whats. Yet if my knee was a little bit better, maybe things would have been a bit different. But, you know, it was a 3-2 fight for him or 3-2 fight for me. So I haven't left that fight thinking anything. He was the former champ. You know, a few more fights, mate, and I am going to be the champion. I want that. I see all these... When like DC, you know, when you're doing your chats with DC and he's calling like Khabib the GOAT and GSP, I love seeing that because it makes me thrive to one day have my name mentioned like that. And people can watch this now and be like, yeah, whatever, Till. And people will be like, yeah, Till's definitely going to be a GOAT. But it's just what I set out to do, Ariel. And, you know, step by step, I'm proving it. And I'm a high-level fighter. I'm a high-level striker in MMA.
You used the same word that he used to describe the fight, stressful. And so I'm wondering... Did you enjoy?
Are you sure this is watermelon? It's tastes funky, mate.
It looks fantastic, and so do you. And what a scene that is! I'm just worried that you're going to overheat in there. I mean, you're not going to get too pruny, right?
This is freezing. This water. It's hot out there, but it's freezing.
Oh, okay, good. All right, is your hand okay holding the phone?
No, this is Dubai, mate. The best of the best. This is not your little shanty, wherever you are.
All right. So, did you enjoy the fight, even though it was stressful?
Yeah, I did. What I enjoyed was figuring out Rob, because if I fight him again, I know I'll stop him. I hesitated a few times, maybe a lack of confidence on my behalf, and still learning a lot. But I know a next fight, I've figured him out now. It takes me around or two to figure guys out, and I've figured him out now. I've got him. But he won the fight. There's nothing to cry over. It was a great fight. We both showed that we're top-level fighters in the UFC. We're the best of the best. You know, he's going to go on now to fight Jared for a number one contender spot. I'm fighting maybe Jack Brunson, some guy like that. Maybe with a Cannonier kind of don't fight, I get one of them. You know, I'm still there at the top, so, you know, we'll see. But I enjoyed the fight, mate. I really did.
Yeah, so there was some talk afterwards about who would be next for you and Robert. So they've gone ahead and booked Robert versus Jared in October. Do you think that Jack makes the most sense for you? If you had your way, who would it be?
Cannonier. I would love to fight Cannonier.
But he's booked.
I don't care. I'd stop him.
Okay.
No, anyone, mate. I don't care. I'm not bothered. I'm not fussed. I just want to heal up him. Do things right, and you know, I don't know what much I can do now because I can't really move on my legs, so it's not like I can go back to the gym and even do upper body training, you know, weights, but weights bores the fucking life out of me. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I just want to stay healthy and stay committed to the craft. You know, I've got 8 years left in this area, I've got a lot to do, I've got a lot to prove, and you know, time's a testament. So I don't know, I want to see how. I don't really want to see how everything plays out, really. Jack's just come off a win. Derek just beat Edmund.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, mate. Let's see how it all goes. I'm out right now, so nobody can call me out. I'm out right now, but I do want to fight as soon as possible.
So, you know, you said something before the fight that I wanted to ask you about. You said that sometimes you like to feel down about yourself. And that's like when you strive to be the best is when you're really feeling down. But right now, it doesn't feel like you're down after this fight. Big fight for you, main event, could have been a number one contender fight, could have been the fight that gets you the title shot. But it doesn't appear to me like you're down. So how do you feel afterwards? Is that a weird thing for you? Because you said before the fight, you like to feel down, yet it seems like you're loving life right now.
I feel great, Ariel. I feel I've committed myself to the sport. I've got a great team. My coach, Colin Heron, you know, I couldn't ask for a better coach or person. My family. My friends, you know, my real friends around me, they're all there for me, and I'm committed to this sport 100%. I'm not committed to anything else. You know, like sometimes fighters get on in life and some people around me, my team, are like, Dan, you should do this. You know, you could make money off this. And I've never been really into it. Only just now have I started capitalizing on that type of stuff. Because to me, it's never meant anything. I've never been interested. Like, that Darren Till store I've got, I've had that for years. I could have made millions and millions and millions off it, but I just was never interested. For me, it was always train, and just be the best. Fuck everything else. You'll make money when you need to make money and all that stuff. And just now, yeah, I've capitalized on it a bit, but even still, I get offers and offers, and I think, no, that'll take some of my time away. I can't have that shit. I need to be a fully committed to the sport. And you know what I see a lot of lately, Edel, is Instagram fighters. I feel like a lot of these guys now lately, Instagram fighters, they document every training session, they document every meal they're having, they document yoga, they document fucking therapy, they document everything. No one gives a shit. I don't like this Instagram generation of Instagram fighters here. I see a lot of guys coming up now, and if I can give them any advice, fuck Instagram. Fuck your sponsors, your fucking food and your fucking physio sponsors. Get in the gym and grind yourself out every day. The generations become Instagram fighters. They document every single training session they're having. You're too focused on what you're trying to feed people, what they want to see on Instagram. You need to just do your craft and get on with your craft, mate. You know, I feel like it's a proper Instagram, a generation of Instagram fighters right now.
Mm. Yeah, you could say that about, you know, society at large as well, but I totally understand what you're saying. But, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of Instagram, you would agree, Darren, right? What's happening? Everything okay?
I'm ordering another watermelon juice.
Oh, okay.
Come on, my friend.
You would agree that, especially during this whole pandemic, your popularity has just grown exponentially. Do you understand why that is?
Because I'm just real, Ariel. I just say, speaking to you now, you know, I've always told you, you're going to get the most honest interviews. And on me on social media, I just try to feed people what the world wants to see. So I like to feed them realistic memes that I find funny, and I know a lot of people will. And, you know, I try to keep it as real as possible. And I know that's a cliche thing to say, but I think you're going to do better being you and feeding people the real you on Instagram. So I've said this many a times, feed the highs, feed them the lows, feed them everything, let them into your world. Because as I said to you earlier on the other show we did, it's, you know, that until series, episode 6, whatever. And, you know, I get it all the time. I get my friends saying, oh, I just bumped into some lad there and he's like talking about you, Dad, and how real you are to the sport and that. And that makes me happy. Do you know what I mean? And I want to keep it like that until the end of my career. And there's no problem making some money along the way. Like a guy the other day, you know, when I was putting these keto drinks up, a guy said to me in the comments, he was like, why do we want to know? Like, what do we want to know for? And I said, well, I don't know if you want to know, but I'm telling the people so they can buy it and I can make some fucking money. What else do you think this is? Do you think this is me, like, what do you think this is, me being a good Samaritan? I want to make some fucking money. That's just real. That's right, even people. I don't like all this bullshit. Yeah, this fucking product 100% works for me. I sold the keto drinks because they worked for me. Now, if they work for you, they don't work for you. I don't give a fucking rat's ass, mate. I couldn't care less. It's just, I'm trying to make some money. They worked for me, so if they work for you, that's good. This ain't like me sitting there like, oh, yeah, you know, it's not about the money, or it's, you know, like these fucking girls who do OnlyFans. Oh, it's not about that. I'm just trying to get out there for modelling. No. You're trying to get your ass out there for some fucking money. Just tell us how it is. You know what I mean? Just fucking be real, man.
And so another thing that I think people like about you is that you're self-deprecating, that you laugh at yourself, right? You don't mind doing that. And I think the Photoshops have been a big part of that success. Who came up with that? Who first started that?
I don't know. I can't remember. I remember
the face one.
Yeah, the Dana one. I just remember that. I just remember people were just like, I don't know. It's like little trends, fads I'm starting.
But then who like kept it going? You just, like, people are just sending them to you, or do you have a guy who does this for you?
Some people sent them, and then I made a few myself, yeah. It's just like, it was crazy. It's fun. It was funny.
Which is the best one in your opinion?
The Dana one.
The one where you said everyone could go to Bellator?
Yeah, because so many people were arguing over money, and I was just like, I'm not paying anyone. And then I wished them a happy Father's Day with that face, Dana. And like, he kicked into me and he was messaging me laughing and that.
So you're sitting at your computer actually doing Photoshops?
No, the iPad.
Oh, okay.
It's easy. It's quick and easy. Okay. Technology is easy these days.
I wanted to ask you about that. Also, I wanted to ask you for a long time, and I hope you don't mind me asking. I feel like you won't mind me asking this.
Of course.
Can you explain? I get a lot of questions about this. Your teeth are impeccable. How are they so perfect? What's going on there?
I had them done.
Oh, they're...
Veneers? Not one single tooth of mine is mine. They're all fake.
Top and bottom?
Every single, all 26.
So what is it, veneers?
I haven't got a clue. I just went to the dentist and said, I want these teeth like this. Can you, like, you know the player who plays for Liverpool, Robert Firmino?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sucks, but he plays for Liverpool. Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he's got bright white. And I said, I want them like that, but just not that white, just a few shades darker. So, yeah. The fake. They cost me a pretty penny, mate.
Yeah, I bet. Did it take a long time to do that? When did you do that?
I done that in 2018, just after the Woodley fight. He had to file. So all my real teeth, the guy had to file all my real teeth to the gums. And then you get temporary ones and then he fits the real. But these are, I've had so many shots in sparring. These are unbelievable. Like these are... You know, anyone wanting to get some veneers, whatever they're called, if you fucking get some, mate, you fucking worth it.
Okay. I'm glad we...
Go and sell your ass on the street for a while, mate. You know?
They glisten when you speak. It's just like... Yeah. It feels like...
I'm good looking with them.
You're phenomenal. Another one I wanted to ask you about, this was obviously before the fight I wanted to ask you, but you stood me up and it was a bit of an awkward time
obviously,
in my
life. Of course.
Do you feel bad about Mike Perry? Do you feel like you've contributed to some of his issues?
I mean, it's hard to comment, Ariel. Seriously, now, the Raw Dog t-shirts that I brought out, they've got nothing to do with him. That's just that thing that everyone's into now. It's a good word, whatever. But I think what happened, truthfully, I think that we was having fun back and forth. And Perry's like a confused... You know, he's obviously... We've all got our own troubles, but he's obviously expresses them more than others. And I think he was just found his new girlfriend and he's in love with her and she's in love with him. And I think they were in this little bubble and I was sort of like poking at the bubble. So, you know, everything else we were doing, he wasn't getting offended. I don't ever get offended. I'm not really arsed. But I think it offended him a little bit and then... You know, the way the fans jump on it, it's just constant. Like, I know how it feels, mate. It's just, it can really dig away at you. So, yeah, maybe. But then, this is the thing, Ariel. You know, people want to comment on Mike Perry, what he's done in a bar or whatever. Every time a reporter, a guy or a journalist asks me about that stuff, I say, I don't really... Like, a lot of times when Connor's had things happen in his personal life, people, oh, what do you think of that? Wanting a negative response. I don't really like to comment because it's like, I've been in many positions like that in my entire life and I don't like it when people comment on it either, but it's just something you have to get on with. So, you know, I don't know, mate. It's tough. You know, I hope he's okay. If he wants to fight when he sees me, mate, no problem. I think he's a good guy. I think he needs a solid team around him. I don't think he's got that. That's what he needs. That's it's hard to comment really earlier because... You know, I don't know. Maybe I did contribute to him going a bit like mental at the moment, but I think he needs a solid team around him just to like. I think he needs to focus on fighting a lot more because he's got potential. Do you know what I mean? He can take punishment and he can give it.
Yeah, the reason I ask is he just seemed so mad going into his last fight, mad at everyone, yeah. and it seemed like the social media quote unquote haters were getting to him, and so I didn't know if you felt bad. I know you were just having a laugh, joking around, but
of course.
I don't know if you felt, man, maybe some people don't know that it's a joke, right? And they come at a guy and they just go a little bit too far, you know?
Yeah, you know what, Ariel, MMA fans are ruthless and they don't hold back. Like, they'll go for anyone. They'll go for kids. They'll go for your wife, whatever. Yeah. So you've got to be able to accept that. And I think that what it all comes down to, my good friend,
What number is that?
What number? Number 3.
Nice.
I had a pineapple juice, a pineapple one as well.
Oh, yeah. It's tasty. Pina colada?
What's that?
You don't know what a pina colada is?
No.
Are you kidding me?
What's a pina colada? Like a coconut. Like when I said I was going to coconut all over you.
Do me a favor and order a pina colada. Or order one for me. Can you order one for me?
A pina colada?
Yeah.
You can't drink it, you know what I mean, mate?
I want to live vicariously through you. I want to see if you like it.
Okay, Laura, order Ariel a pina colada. Yeah. Going back to it, I think the old problem is that he was in love with his girl and she's in love with him and they're in like a bubble and he doesn't want no one to break that bubble. And I think I broke it. And I'm not sorry. I was just having banter. If you can't take it, mate, you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. But I understand why he's so mad, because that when you first get involved with like a girl and you love each other, it's you don't want no one to fuck with your bubble and you do anything for it and you die for it. So, you know, that's what I think.
Okay, fair enough. Well, hopefully he doesn't go any further and he's in a good place. He did post a picture of you. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see the picture that he posted yesterday?
He blocked me. I can't see anything.
Oh, my gosh. But he did post a Photoshop of him holding a baby, and the baby was you. So it sounds like maybe he's getting over it.
Oh, of course. Listen, this is the thing, right, Ariel? I've always said it. If Perry wants to see me, we can fight. Do you know what I mean? If Perry wants to be my friend, we can be friends. Because I really, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, like Perry. It's the same as the Masvidal thing. People say to me, oh, you see Masvidal now, you know, what do you feel like? And I'm like, I'm 100%, not 1% of me is bitter. I'm 100% happy for him. Because I also know that I'm going to be in a better position than that in time. So you get nowhere having all this jealousy and this bitterness. You get nowhere. You should have a positive, everyone's jealous. Jealousy is emotion. You should have a positive jealousy. Like, yeah, I'm jealous of that guy, but I'm going to get to where that guy is. I'm going to work hard as well. Not, ah, fuck that guy. He doesn't deserve that. Do you know what I mean? Type of attitude.
I want to ask you about one more thing you said before the fight that really stuck with me. You said that you now have humble confidence.
Yeah.
And some might say that that's a contradiction, right? Like if you're too confident, you're not humble enough. What is humble confidence and where did you get humble confidence? Where did you
develop that? I am a contradiction. I'm a walking contradiction. Like my girlfriend says it every day. I just want to stay humble, but I want to stay supremely confident. You know, like before I had my defeats, not that Walter Whitaker, I'm not taking that as a defeat, never. But when I had my 2 defeats to Masvidal Monday, before that, mate, I was just cocky confidence. Like, I wasn't arrogant in no way. I was very happy. I was very nice to people and everything, but I was very arrogant. Like, no one can fuck with me. And I want to keep that mentality, but a good mentality that way. Like, supreme confidence, but humble confidence. Like, every man can beat you. Every man's got the tools. You know, you need to work as hard as anyone. You need to work every day. It's not just a camp thing. Like people say, oh, camp 8 weeks, then have time off. It's every day you grind until you retire. You know, that's the type of mentality.
Before the Gaslam fight, you said you were so afraid that you thought about, you know, walking away, right? Did you feel those same emotions going into this Whitaker fight while you were
walking away
arena?
From what?
Didn't you say, you know, in at MSG, you said you were so afraid before the fight, you had so many nerves that you thought, you know, like, hey, can I just leave? You remember that?
Faking an injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No.
Did you feel the same this time?
For the Whitaker fight, I was just like, God, I can't wait to get in there and just showcase how good I am. And you know, I feel like I've done that. With the Gaslam fight, it was just like, just confidence has just been knocked out. It's really hard to express it in, as I say to you, an honest way. Most guys will probably say, I'll guess that, the other, and done with it. You know, I'm going to try and express myself. I'll try and express myself in the best way, but I'm finding it difficult because I don't know what to say. I was just in my own head, scared. And I'm not scared of fighting. I'm not scared of any man. I'm just, I think it was the occasion and the bright lights and the crowd and everything that comes with it. And, you know, what has happened to me previous.
Why did you walk out to no music this time? Why did you walk out to you know, usually you walk out to Sweet Caroline. I thought it was very impactful that you did that. Why did you do it?
Because I think that Sweet Caroline brings people together. it's a happy-go-lucky song, and it's a, you know, it resonates with fans now with me. You know, people hear it, the first thing they think of is that until. I just don't think feel like it was right walking out there. There was four people maybe, you know, in the arena. It's like, it's for the fans. And then people could say, well, you used to walk out to Phil Collins, that's your own music. I know, yeah, but I just wanted dead silence when I was walking there. There was no occasion, there was no crowd. It was sort of just set up in a gazebo with fight for all fans around the world who were missing out on sports. So I just wanted dead silence, mate, and it was nice. And Mike Tyson used to walk out to no music, and you know what? It was beautiful. And I might do it in an arena when there's fans there. I might
really?
Well do it.
You enjoyed
when
it?
I enjoyed it. When I fight for the title, I might do it.
But in that respect, when you fight for the title, don't you want everyone cheering and being happy and stuff like that?
Yeah, but when I win that title, maybe they can all cheer when it's at Anfield. And that's the most epic. You want it at Goodison, don't you, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, mate.
A blue for Anfield. Life, you know. Okay, just a couple more things and I'll let you go. When do you fight for the belt? When do you fight for the middleweight title? In your mind, how long does it take?
I don't think it's a matter of how long it takes. I don't know. I think when the time's ready. I was put on this earth. I know what I was put on this earth for. No one can convince me otherwise. I was put on this earth to be a champion in the UFC and be a future GOAT. So when it happens, it's going to happen. Until then, I'm just going to enjoy my last few days here. And then I'm going to look forward to my next fight. I don't want to do anything else than fight now. I don't want to go off. You know, I'm enjoying 1 week here, but 1 week's enough. I don't want to go off doing anything else or getting into 10, 20 sponsorships or stuff like that or putting my head here, there. I just want to fucking fight. That's all I want to do. I want to fucking fight. Obviously, you know, I want to make some good money. You know, I've got my Dad Until store for everyone who doesn't know, get a Raw Dog t-shirt up and running. But, you know, I'm not bothered about anything else. I'm not bothered about anything. I just want to fight and just want to be the best there. I can't do anything else. I will not be able to retire if I don't become one of the best. So I'm going to go till I'm 50 then. Do you know what I mean? I have to do it, Ariel. I've got to do it. And I'm so determined and convinced. And I'm going to train harder. And I'm going to be more vicious and violent as ever. And just them things, mate.
Are you officially done with 170?
No, because I didn't even cut weight to make 185, mate.
Zero? Nothing?
I didn't cut no weight. No.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, but as I said, I am a fucking walking contradiction. Fight me for 170, I'm walking in at like 280 pounds. Fight me for 185, I'm walking in lighter than what I used to fight at welterweight. What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense. Ask Colin Edden if Colin Edden's watching this now. He's looking at me like, you're a fucking wanker, you, Darren. You know, like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Fight me in Abu Dhabi, I was like just walking around like, 87, 88 kilo, and then the fight day with Whittaker, I was going to make coach. I haven't put weight, no weight on, you know, like usually guys rehydrate, and I did. I rehydrated with the UFCPI, but I'd only put like 2-3 kilos on. It was like, it was mental. I wasn't bothered. I was healthy. Didn't cut no weight, but it was like, Darren, when you used to fight at welterweight, you'd be coming in at fucking 90 kilos in that fight week, cutting 13 kilos, and now you're coming in lighter for middleweight. What's wrong with you, man? That's just me, Ariel. Oh, I'm just a fucked up guy, man.
Gosh, I can't. So, I mean,
ask Colin Edden. Colin Edden was buzzing, but he's baffled by it. And I kept saying to him every day, make welterweight, you know, Col. And he's like, I know you could, you're just a fucking fat cunt. So, that's it, mate.
Izzy or Costa?
It's tough, man. It's tough, Ariel. I think Costa's got the gas tank, and I think he's got the power. But as I always say, technical ability, I'm a technical fighter, mate. Israel is. I think I'm going to go like 55-45 Israel, but it's a close fight. Costa has definitely got the tools to win. And wants it and trains hard. You know, I follow him. I follow both on Instagram, and you know, they put work in, a lot of work. So I'm just going to sit there as a fan. Listen, Ariel, I'm sick of talking to you, mate. Fuck off.
No. Listen, I went a little longer because you left me hanging. Here's my last question. The king of quarantine, Till Helwani, when's it going down?
we got the show there, Pro Bellum, mate. If you want to fight on it, come on, let's do it. Let's make some fucking money.
Okay, only with the bum leg, though. I'll do it, okay? Darren, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Love you.
Appreciate it. And sorry appreciate for keeping you long there, but you know, I had no to problem. Get you back for, you know, leaving me hanging a couple weeks ago. Enjoy
Raw
your time.
Raw dog t-shirt, Daniel.
I hope you have a speedy recovery over there.
Thank you, my friend.
How could you not love Darren Till's attitude? He says many of the right things. He's a very likable fighter, very honest fighter. I like when he speaks about the state of things online and fighting and whatnot. He's just a guy you want to root for. And he says he's going to be a champion one day. We'll see if that comes to fruition. I appreciate the confidence. I still think he's a player at 185. It's a very close fight. I think ultimately Robert Whittaker won that fight. But, you know, a fight against Jack Hermanson makes a lot of sense, or even a Derek Brunson if Jack wants to get back quicker because his fight was so quick. He'll be in the mix, and he's so popular that, you know, they'll always have a spot for him, at least for now, in the UFC. So appreciate the time, even though he stood me up before the fight. All's well between Darren Till and I. Now, before we get to Dylan Danis.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. Now here's my conversation with the biggest troll in MMA, Dylan Danis. And now we are being joined by the one and only Dylan Danis. It's been a while since I've wanted to talk to this man, one of the best grapplers in the sport of MMA. And especially during this whole pandemic, lockdown, quarantine time, he's also developed into one of the biggest trolls in the sport of MMA. Dylan Danis, kind enough to join us here today. Dylan, how are you?
Doing good, Ariel. I wouldn't call myself a troll. I feel like I just speak the truth on some things and people get mad about it and they think I'm messing around, but I usually just tell the truth and people get upset, so I won't consider myself a troll.
You take that as an insult?
No, I don't take it as an insult, but it's mostly, I mean, sometimes I might troll, but I feel like some of the stuff I just tell the truth on, you know, and a lot of people don't like the truth, so.
But you do, I mean, you like to stir the pot, right? Especially online. You're quick on the draw. How do you get, like, sometimes I'll post something and then you show up in the comments like within seconds. Do you have notifications?
Like, everybody tags me in it, so I'm like, all right, I know I have to say something. Usually when you post, everybody's like, Dylan Danis, Dylan, because everybody wants to hear from me anyway. So I'm just like, everybody tags me and I'm like, all right, I'll jump in there to see what I have to say.
Mm. And you enjoy this, right? Even if you're, you know, ruffling some feathers, I feel like you get a kick out of this.
Yeah, man, I live in New York City. Like, I'm stuck in a 4x4, not 4x4 apartment, but, like, I'm stuck in an apartment, you know? Like, obviously, like, I don't have too many stuff to do, so, like, it's fun to start a little bit of shit here and there, you know what I mean?
At the beginning of all this, like, you know, mid-March, late March, early April, especially when things were really bad in New York, and you were just coming off knee surgery as well, what was that? Because it did seem like you were online a lot, like, stirring the pot, but, like, in reality, like, did you need that as entertainment? Like, were you starting to go a little stir crazy?
It's actually, like, it's funny you say that because it's exactly true. Like, when you're not fighting and you're just sitting inside with an injury, like, you want to be back in the action, you know? So I like getting out there and kind of like, it kind of gives me an adrenaline rush. Like, I'm fighting. So I like to, you know, stay active and just stimulate my mind in a sense, because like when you're inside and can't leave the apartment because, you know, New York City was so bad. It was fun to do some stuff like that. So yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay. So what happened with the knee? Because, you injured it last June, right? In your last fight, and then you had surgery, and then did you have to have a second surgery?
So this was the other knee. I didn't get surgery after the last one. I kind of just let it heal by itself, but this was the other knee. Yeah. This was a week before my last fight when I was going to fight in LA, training. I hurt really bad, but, knee injuries are tough. I'm not going to lie. They're tough, but you know, trying to do as best as I can.
Do you think that you injured the other knee because of the
original injury? Like sometimes you overcompensate, right? And it happens where like the other leg gets hurt. Do you think that happened?
I think it's just, man, I've been training for 12 years now since I was a kid, like hard every day. I feel like my body was just kind of, you know, I needed, when you're younger, you kind of don't do the right things, you know, like stretching and this kind of stuff. I feel like now I'm starting to get older and eating healthier and stretching and doing more of the stuff that you have to do for your body. I think I was just kind of winging it. Is that like when you're younger, you know, you could do whatever you want. So I feel like now getting older, you have to treat your body a little bit better than when you were 20 or 19.
So the surgery that you had, when was that, in February or March?
March, I think March 6th.
Right. So like literally right before all of this, right?
Yeah. So it was right there. It was when I was in the hospital, everything in New York City kind of closed down and everything like that.
What kind of surgery was it?
I don't want to go too much into it, but I got three ligaments worked on. It was supposed to be a 3 to 4 hour surgery, but ended up being 7.5 hours.
Wow. It's
pretty crazy. Yeah. It was a long intensive surgery. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely getting a lot better now. You know, it's been hard with like the coronavirus because I can't really go to like the doctors and the hospitals and stuff like that because everything's kind of closed down. But I've been doing my own stuff at home and reading books and doing everything I can to get back as soon as possible.
And what do they say in terms of recovery time? Like when would you be 100% after a surgery like that?
So people say like, you know, a lot, like 6 to 8 months, but right now I'm doing, I can get back. I want to get a fight before the end of the year, 100%. That's my goal right now. I want to get one fight in before the end of the year. And I already talked to Bellator. We're on track to do it. So, you know, I feel like with knee injuries, it's all about mental and physical, but I really feel like I can get back as soon as possible.
So if we're talking 6, 8 months, and then we're talking about the fact that you haven't fought since last June, will this be the longest stretch in your life where you haven't been in an active competition?
That and without training, this is the longest. And I don't think I've ever gone maybe I would say 2 weeks at most without training every day, you know?
Wow.
Probably less, but this is the first time and I'm going crazy. Like I have so much energy because I'm used to training like 3 times a day, like 8 hours all day long. So like, it's terrible. I feel bad for my girlfriend.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? Take it, you know?
Okay. And of course, when I say of your life, I obviously when you were a kid, things were different. I meant like, you know, as a professional, as you became an athlete and whatnot. And so are you at all worried that this will hinder, like do you suspect that you'll be back to 100% or are you worried about long-term effects here?
The thing is too, like with the guys that I fight in like any competition, I don't need to be 100%. I feel like I'm that good that I don't know. I know my ability and I like right now, even with my knee like this, if I had to get in a street fight like Masvidal or something like that, it would be easy. So, no, I'm serious.
What are you talking about? If you had to get into a street fight with Masvidal right now in your given state, it would be easy.
Yeah, it would. I would take this leg off and beat him with it. Come on. Like, me and him met in New York City streets or, like, Miami. Like, you know, I seen him before in Miami. You know, he didn't do anything. He left the club. So.
What's the beef with Masvidal? I didn't know Masvidal was on the hit list.
You know that. Come on. It was all over. Okay. He was the one state. He. So, me and Masvidal had, like, a weird past, but, it's funny.
What's the
like, just like a couple times I me and him have had beef, you know. One time, I'm not going to say the UFC fighter that I went on a date with, but I had to go to the UFC retreat. Like, do you remember when they used to have like,
yes,
like,
you were there?
So me and my friend went because one of the UFC fighters I was going on a date with, this girl, she was at the bar there and she called us to go there. So it was funny, Masvidal was there and he was like eyeing me down, like he wanted to fight me and this and that. And he ended up doing nothing. Like, I literally went into a UFC retreat. Think about this. I go to the bar, every single UFC fighter is there. No one said anything. They were actually very, very nice to me, saying, like, oh, you know, you're the man, this and that. Was on the date with the girl, and then no one did anything. Masvidal was there, fucking Jeremy Stevens, all every single UFC fighter. Went right into their territory, nothing happened. And then another time, I seen him a couple times. So then another time I seen Masvidal was in a club, I think in Miami, and I didn't even know he was there. So then I went to my table and they were like, oh, Masvidal's there, whatever. And I was like, oh, whatever. So they started bringing like a lot of like attention to me. They were bringing signs up in the club and stuff like that. He just got up and left. Swear to God, my life, swear on anything. Got up and left. And I think he got upset because he's in Miami and I was getting more love. No one even knew who he was. When I walked in, they had the girls with the signs and everything. And no one even knew who he was. I think he got upset that it was like, you know, this is right after he knocked out Ben Askren.
Oh,
and
wow.
He just left the club. Yeah. And then, you know, so he always says like stuff. And then at the Conor and Cerrone weigh-in, he was sitting in front. So they brought me in with security, right? And they sit me, and I saw him in front of me. So then all of a sudden, all the UFC security comes up to me, and they're like, he said that this and that. Like, he was like making a scene about it. I didn't even care. I was like, whatever, fuck this guy. And they're like, if you even look at him, they're going to pull all your credentials in the UFC. Like, you're never going to be able to come this and that. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this guy's being such a pussy, like saying that I can't look at him and, like, you know, like trying to start shit. And he wanted to bring the suits into it. You know what I mean? Like, I thought you were a street fighter. Like, just fucking pull the trigger and fucking fight me, you know? Or, you know, don't say anything and I'll fight you. But, like, why even get the UFC security to come to what team? So they fucking made a line around me and everything. I'm like, bro, like,
really?
I swear to God.
I didn't see any of this.
I swear. It was, and they were like, yo, if you, like, say anything, because, like, you know, they know me. They said if I say anything to him, and they're going to pull my credentials for the rest of my life. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, really going to bring the suits into this, man? Like, I don't know. I thought you were a street fighter.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, because I was going to, okay, so in the midst of all this, a lot of feuds have been brewing with you. Yeah. Ryan Garcia, what's the issue there?
He came at me.
He so, started? You know,
I'm pretty sure he started, or I said something and he like came back at me, and then dude, he gets the most engagement he's ever gotten in his life when he talks about me. And dude, if I fought him in an MMA fight, like he says, I think boxing would go out of fucking, wouldn't be a sport anymore. The things I would like do to him in the cage would be so bad.
Like, I would literally, you know, like, you know, in a boxing match, you couldn't hang with him, right?
No,
like, you can
on,
see
stop.
That.
Stop. I bet you, I could bet any amount of money that I have, that he would not beat me in a boxing match. You see the size of him? Yeah, everybody thinks like my boxing is bad. I swear on anything.
No, but I mean, he's a professional boxer. You have two MMA fights.
He's not tough. Look at the kid. Like, look at me and then look at him. Like, he has no toughness in him. I bet you anything, I would break him before he broke me. He might hit me with a lot of shots, but I got a big head. He's not going to put me down. And then imagine an MMA fight. I'll do a boxing fight with him. I swear to God. I told him. He offered, like, they didn't offer me, but like, he wants to play it out there. Like, offer me on Twitter. Let's do it. But imagine the difference. Okay, so even if we did a boxing match, right? Like, he would not knock me out 100%. Imagine we did an MMA fight. What would happen to him?
Yeah.
You know, I'd be, like, holding him on the ground and slapping him until I wouldn't finish him. I would just make him, like, oh, it would be so bad. Boxing wouldn't even be a sport anymore. No one would even watch it because they could see what would happen to a boxer in an MMA fight.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now, I have a hard time distinguishing between the brothers, Jake and Logan Paul. Which one do you have the beef with? Or do you have the beef with both of them?
Yeah, both of them like to talk about me. I don't know. But Jake is the one that really wants to fight me. Logan wants to fight me in MMA. But they both know like I'm the only one that makes sense in MMA. There's no one else that has a name like me, so... They didn't want to fight me.
I feel like that's the one that had the most traction, maybe because of the Bellator, like Coker would have been into it. I don't know. It felt like that was the one that had the most chance of happening.
You see fucking Logan Paul was beating Paulo Costa in a training session. Like,
well, that was fake. That was fake. I know that was fake.
Okay, so not even that. The wrestling one. I don't know if they fake that. Like, imagine being me or any MMA fighter and faking it with like Logan Paul like training, like where he's like beating me. Like, how embarrassing is that? Like, you imagine me going to the gym with Jake Paul. I'm like, yeah, I was training, but like, yo, I'm going to let you beat me up a little bit just for like the cameras. It's like, come on. Like, who even does that? You know, like, it's
were there
stupid.
Any talks of making these fights happen?
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. I've had Eddie Hearn has talked to me before about Logan Paul. Yeah, we talked. And then, yeah, they have reached out. So, like, it will happen 100%. One of them will happen.
I mean, Eddie Hearn, did he reach out for boxing or for MMA?
I think it might have been boxing. I'm not sure. I forgot what it was. It was a while back. This is when you were on his show, and then we started talking a little bit. But
I picked the brother to win.
Yeah, I know.
Were you okay with that?
You know what really happened. You also think Ryan Garcia would knock me out, but like...
Yes, I do.
We're talking about reality.
Right.
Like, if you, okay, let me ask you a question. Me and Ryan Garcia were fucking in the middle of the street. Who would you pick in a fight?
That's different because that's anything goes, right? You could take him down. You could submit him. If it's I'm saying in a boxing match.
Come on. In a boxing match, I would fucking take a shit
out of his head. You see how fast his hands are?
Huh?
You see how fast his hands are?
So, yeah. Well, it has no power.
Yeah, but I feel
like a fly hitting you.
And also, he does have power. He's knocked people out.
Yeah, guys are freaking, they pick up off the street and throw them in there for him. Come on. Who was he beat? I don't know.
That reminds me of the guys that they have you fight in Bellator.
They all have winning records. Come on. You know that. What's it called? Okay, hold on. Let me ask you something about this. And look at any UFC fighter that the guys that talk shit to me, or any MMA fighter, who fucking has had their first two fights. My two first fights have better records than any guys. Look at Ben Askren. The first two guys he fought was, I think, 0-3, and then 1-2, and then 1-4. That fucking guy that everybody's talking about in the UFC, the fucking, I don't know what the hell the guy's name is.
Well, that was my next guy that I was going to bring up.
Jizmat? Was his name Jizmat?
No, Khazmat Shamayev.
Yeah,
what's your beef with him? What's your beef with him?
He's terrible. Like, if people are giving him on, I'm like, bro, this guy's so bad. Like, if I fought him, I would lay on my back when the fight starts because he says he's good at grappling, and I bet he wouldn't even come close to me. Like, he's terrible. Like, come on, that guy's so bad. And like, I'm saying,
do you have an actual beef with the guy, or is this just like...
He said that if he saw me, he would fight me in the street or some shit. The guy's a nobody, bro. Come on.
You're not impressed with what he's done. I mean, his last fight, Reese McKee, didn't throw or land a punch.
Come on. What happened to that was Reese McGee. It's like a Reese's cup. What the fuck is that? But I'm saying, like, dude, in grappling and ADCC, like, we fucking fight way better guys in the same day. He's talking about a week difference. Like, the guy, like, I mean, he did fight John Phillips. John Phillips is one of my training partners.
Yeah.
He's fucking a heavy hitter. I'll give him credit on that. I'll give him credit on that. I like John Phillips a lot. He's a fucking tough motherfucker. But, like, people are saying, like, you know, that, I don't know. It's just, I feel like the hype is definitely fake. I'm telling you, if you want to fight, what's it called? I'll start on my back. If he wants to take everybody on anyway, we'll see what happens. I would submit him easily.
With Khazmat.
Jizmat.
You mentioned about, you know, the winning records for, you know, guys making their debut. Worth noting, Brock Lesnar fought Frank Mir in his second pro fight.
Come on.
Former UFC heavyweight champion.
Come on, stop.
That's just one that came to mind.
Okay, I'll give you the Brock Lesnar one. Okay, but come on. Like, and then he fought Randy Couture, who was that, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, then he fought Heath Herring, then Randy Couture.
Oh, yeah, Heath Herring. Heath Herring was – would Heath Herring be in the UFC?
Nah, he was – I mean, Heath Herring's a legend.
He was good in his back in his day. He was a journeyman, but I love Heath Herring, but he didn't beat anybody in the UFC. He got dropped by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar throws with his arm. He's not throwing punches. Like,
no, I understand. I understand what you're trying to say. So we've addressed.
Imagine if I fought Brock Lesnar. People, and I have said this before. I'd pay you $1 million. If I come on, like,
okay, now I know you've really
talking about that. Heavyweight, bro. Heavyweights are not like that. Come on.
You're saying you would beat Brock Lesnar, open weight fight.
You're serious?
Yeah. How much do you weigh?
No time limit.
No time limit.
Because he might try to hold me down a little bit, but no time limit. I'll end up submitting him.
100%. How, you know, out of training camp, how much do you weigh?
190s, 180s, you know, it depends. I want to fight 155 one day, hopefully.
You want to go down to 55? Why?
I think one day maybe it would be cool.
You had success at 170. Why?
Oh, yeah. I want to get a belt at 170 and then maybe 155 later on, though, you know? Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I feel like sometimes, like, I don't eat the healthiest, you know? I eat a lot of pizza and stuff. So, like, I feel like if I, like, fucking went all out, like, you know, eating healthy, I feel like my body would just kind of form into that. But, I mean, it's just a thought. Who knows? I mean, there's so many people that call me out. I would like to eventually get everybody, you know, which will happen.
Why do you have to go? Why do you have to go after Aspen Ladd? She's so nice.
She came after me. Come
did
on.
She?
Yeah, she did. I posted something and then she said something about like being lonely or you're gonna be lonely. I don't know, some stupid shit. And then I looked like and I went on her Instagram for some reason. I hit the message and that was a DM that she sent me.
Stop.
I was like, okay, I don't know how to fake a DM. That was real. Swear to God.
So we haven't seen you since last June. You had the surgery. You were going to fight in January. But I was told, okay, so someone sent me a message about this, that when Connor fought in Vegas in January that night, that you got into like a fracas at the Wynn Hotel and that you were eventually cited for battery, but the case was dismissed and it's not on your record anymore and all that stuff. But we got the paperwork. Mark Raimondi and I, you know, spoke to the officials over there in Las Vegas. What happened there? Did something happen with you? Because someone sent me some info. We looked into it, and it seemed like there was something that happened, but it's no longer a thing anymore.
No, like they say, man, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's all I'm going to say.
So something did happen.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? So, I mean, that is kind of a conference. I respect the fact that you don't want to talk about it, but can you confirm that there was an incident in Vegas that it's no longer a thing now?
I don't know.
All right. You don't want to talk about it. All right. Fair enough. Good. Yeah. Is everything okay now?
All good.
No problems?
Yeah, no.
No pending issues? No, I mean, like, no pending issues or anything like that?
No, all good.
Okay. What about, you know, we've talked about a lot of people here, like a lot of people who aren't in Bellator. Is there anyone in Bellator that makes sense for your comeback fight?
It's funny because a lot of people always say they call someone, but I feel like right now in Bellator, even at 170, there's no one that has the kind of hype or, you know, like shit that I bring to the table. So like, I feel like these guys that all want to call me out, they're all like, no one even knows who they are. They're like 500 followers or something like that. And like, whenever they call my name out, they'll get a lot of traction, but like, it's not fun for me. It'd be like, I don't know how to compare it, but it'd be like if the Yankees were going to play the like little league on in Hoboken or something. Like they want to get like worked up for it. They want to be like, hey, you know, they're not going to fucking jump out of their bed at 6 a.m. for it. So when I have like a worthy opponent and someone that, you know, is really good or someone that has a lot of hype, like it excites me. So
are you bored in Bellator?
Huh?
Are you bored in Bellator?
No, not bored. I'm just saying, I'm just waiting for the right one. I mean, I'm still going to keep doing my thing. I love Scott Coker. He's a fucking man. I can't say anything about him. All Bellator, they're the best company, man. They're great. But I'm just going to, you know, I feel like some of these guys, I don't know how to explain, but they don't know what they're doing. Like, you know, they don't know how to like build up fights. They don't know how to do anything. So it's just like one day someone will kind of come with the, you know, I don't know, the thing that I'm looking for, but right now, I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I'm going to get that belt, and then we'll go from there.
But there's no one, like, there's no one even in your mind. Okay, this, I mean, it's all well and good.
You know what? I see the John Fitch fight happening. I want to fight John Fitch. I said that before.
Interesting.
And then Douglas Lima, I would like to have that fight. The funny thing is, if I said I was fight Douglas Lima tomorrow, Douglas Lima would fight me. He calls me out all the time. He's the champion. He would fight me in a heartbeat. So I know that fight's always there. Yeah, but we'll see. I have a couple fights on my mind that I want to do.
Do you want to share them?
I feel like I got to keep some tricks in the bag, you know what I mean?
I mean,
we talked about a lot. Like, I say the Ryan Garcia fight will happen. I say all these fights will happen.
You think it will really happen? I
100% truly feel like it will happen. I mean, on my end, it will happen. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, he has to show up for it to actually happen.
Or I just show up in the gym. Either one. I take out his whole team.
I'd love to see you versus Tyron Woodley. You were getting under his skin as well at the beginning of all this. Every time, you know, he's doing an IG, you show up there.
He's on a losing streak, and then he just lost on the contender to a teacher.
No, but listen,
like, now it's not enticing anymore. Come on, these guys have to keep winning to keep me.
What do you mean to a teacher?
He lost to like a math teacher on that contender thing. He just did like
the Titan Games.
Yeah. He lost to like a math teacher in that athletic ability contest. It's like, so like, I feel bad if I fought someone like that.
No, but even when he lost, he's on his IG, and then you show up to troll him, and he even gives you props, and then
I'll give you this. Okay, so I went to go mess with him. I didn't even mess with him. I just said falling in and all in love or something. And then he's like, whatever. I'll show him love. And then I was like, I gave him credit on Twitter for being like, you know, like a good sport. And then he fucking blocked me. And I was like, all right, fuck this guy, bro. Like, who blocks people on fucking Twitter? And then I was like, whatever. Like, you know, so like, I don't have any more respect for him. I had respect for him for like 20 seconds, and then I lost it when he blocked me. I was like, just let it go, bro.
Kevin Lee's another one that you constantly troll?
I don't know. Kevin Lee. You see all these guys, they were at, you know, they had their moments, but now they're just, you know.
You've moved on.
That guillotine he got subbed by was ridiculous. I have my thoughts on all this stuff, but yeah, Yeah, I'm moving on to bigger, better things now.
Maybe Kamaru Usman. How do you think that would go?
He's such a boring fighter, though. Like, but why not? I say one day the Bellator UFC cross promotion will happen, and who's a bigger name than me? They're gonna make me fight Usman. That's fine. I'll be ready for it. I don't need to be in training camp for Usman. Come on. Like, what does he bring to the table? Tell me. Well, he's a wrestler. He's gonna take you down. That's what I want. It's perfect. And then we want to strike. He's not going to do anything to me on the feet. He's going to end up trying to take me down. It's an easy submission.
And then you took things too far when you went after Nate Robinson.
No. So the Nate Robinson story, I didn't say this on Twitter. So remember when he got cut from the NBA? He what? Tried. He got cut from the NBA.
Cut. I mean, he just kind of like
let go.
The career ran its course.
No, come on. He's 32. What was he? 33. So how did he run his course? So anyway, so after that, he tried joining like our like recreational basketball team at the YMCA. And we gave him a contract. He was playing for like a couple games. He was so bad, so we ended up cutting him too.
Who's
so,
we? That's
like our team at the YMCA. We had like a good team. Yeah, yeah. So we gave him a contract, like a 3-day contract, because they're like, you know, this guy's got cut. Like he's probably not that good, and he was lackluster and not like no fucking effort. So we ended up cutting him too, and that's what he has beef with me still, because he got cut from my team. So like that's the thing is like. He wants to come at me now. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the hell did I do? But then I realized that was that one time I come from the YMCA team.
Who do you think wins in that fight? And that's Jake Paul, right?
I hope Jake wins so then our fight can still happen. Because if he loses that, then it's not happening. Right. I'll tell you that right now. It's definitely not happening. But I feel like Nate Robinson will beat him.
Really?
I think he's a good enough athlete to – Jake Paul is just Jake Paul. And like Nate Robinson is a good athlete, so let's see. I think he can beat him. If he takes it serious, and he said he wants me after. So if Nate Robinson wins, maybe, you know, we can pull that off.
You know, so we've mentioned a lot of people and usually get one up on them, but you have to admit the one that you did not score any points on.
That's
was
not
El
fair.
Nadiz himself. I'll tell you I mean, why. What a comeback that was. What a comeback.
That was it. Dylan Danis, people love it. So it's not fair. Your comeback wasn't as good as mine.
Oh my gosh.
I'll give you the people got behind you on that one, but it wasn't.
I mean, did you see the like to retweet ratio there? I mean, it was just
I tell you why, because anybody says my name, like it blows up. So I'll give you that. But like my comebacks were way better than the other two I got like.
No, because then you went personal. Then you started like making fun of my family. That was just like gutter moves.
I would never do that. That was a sim joke. That wasn't a family joke.
I don't even know what that means. So what's No, I don't know what that means. You know, like non-simps don't deal with simp type things.
Or it's like simps don't know they're simps.
Okay, fair enough. So perfect world, comeback fight whenever you come back 6 to 8 months. I mean, from the surgery. So that would, you know, that would mean maybe end of the year. What's the perfect scenario for you? Dylan Danis's big return after all this trash talking, all this trolling, all this activity online. How do you come back? We can't come back against like some like 500 fighter, right? This has to be a big deal.
My perfect scenario, huh? It's tough. There's so many big names, like names that like we talk about, and like this and that. I don't know, man. It's hard, but I feel like
you have to have a name.
The fight I really want, because you know he has popularity and like he wants to fight me. I feel like the cross promotion of me and Ryan Garcia and MMA, I think would be a fun one. I really do. And I'll go down a weight just to meet him at weight. I'll meet him at whatever weight he wants to fight, and let's do it. Why not? I mean, I feel like it would be a fun one. We could do a one night boxing, the next night MMA, or either one.
All right. That'd
or,
be cool.
Or you know who would be a crazy one to come back to? Because I just saw an article today of Ben Askren saying that he'll take a fight again. It's me and Ben Askren.
Really?
Think about it. He's retired. They could sign him to Bellator. Why not? He just said that I'll come back for the right money fight. He always calls me out.
Yes.
So that would be a great one.
I'll be talking to him on Monday. I can get his response.
He fluffs it. He's like saying he needs a freaking hip surgery. Then he's throwing freaking frisbee full force. And then, come on.
So that's the one, you versus Ben Askren.
Yeah, and we were going to do a grappling match. We were going to do a bunch of press conferences. They came to my gym to talk to me about it, and I said, yes, let's do it. And then we were going to do a wrestling match, and I don't know. I think that would be a fun one. Why not? I would 100% do that, or, you know, other stuff, but I feel like that would be a good one. That's a big name. It's perfect. Good record. Why not? Let's do it.
Okay. Well, good to catch up with you, Dylan. You know, we've been through a lot over the past few months. And I feel like we've accomplished a lot here. And I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better in good spirits, mentally and physically. And I hope to actually see you back in there in an actual real fight in the near future, as opposed
to. Me too, trust me. Like, every same fight, I feel like I want to fight. Trust me, I'm fucking itching to fight. Fucking playing VR boxing and doing like whatever I can, man. It's fucking.
Need to get one of those Helwani boxing things, you know?
Yeah, I know. I've actually liked doing that, but like the last time I did, I hit it too hard because of my power, and it knocked it off the thing. It came off. Swear to God. So I hit it like really hard, like, and then just came off. I'm not like you guys, you know, the little power, the little fly, like Ryan Garcia, you know.
Right. Thank you, Dylan. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, interesting stuff there from Dylan Danis, who has a litany of haters and a lot of people in his crosshairs. We'll see how it all plays out. I doubt he fights any of those guys upon his return to Bellator. But at this point, I sort of feel like Bellator has to put him in there in some kind of big fight because he talks so much smack. You can't keep building him up slowly because then it just looks bizarre. So I'm not saying they should put him in there against Douglas Lima right off the bat, but I do feel like they have to kind of rush things a little bit now because he talks so much smack. I know a lot of that is entertainment. He was bored and all that, but you know, you can't keep putting him in there against no-namers when he's talking so much. So we'll see how that all unfolds. For now, though, time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is time for TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week. And as always, it is brought to you by Modelo. Modelo Especial, setting the gold standard for authentic Mexican beer since 1925. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
Ariel, I've got a tip for you this week that I think you could really benefit from, and that is to say no more often. I once had someone tell me something along the lines that when you say yes to one thing, you are then saying no to something else, and I find that we do this a lot. We'll say, yes, I want to go out with you coworkers for a drink after work, or yes, I want to go watch this movie with a friend or watch this funny video that someone sent me. But maybe you already had plans that day. Hey, I'm going to go for a run that day. Hey, I'm going to read 30 pages of this book this day, because we plan out these things that we want to do, that we know we should be doing, that we know will make ourselves better. Maybe I should call my grandmother today. That's one I tell myself all the time. And that something always comes up. So I want you, especially because I know you do a lot. You're so busy all the time, and I feel like you don't take as much time for yourself. Me personally, my number one thing, most important thing to me in the world is my health, both physical and mental. So I'm constantly saying no to things, often from you, that I don't want to do because it will take away from something that I know that for my health, which I've set as a priority, that I know I need to do. So I would advise people to say no to things that just get in the way of the things we should be saying yes to.
Did my wife tell you to say this?
No.
Yes, I mean, she's been wanting to go on a vacation for quite some time, but here I am just plugging away, the busiest man in MMA. I mean, get no respect around here. I'm just like sort of Old Faithful, you know, just Ariel will be around. He'll say yes. Yeah, no problem.
That is the great thing. I mean, you are, it's a great trait of yours, but also it could be a fault. You are so reliable,
yes.
And I know you're always there, but I do recognize every time, because I feel bad, because I know you're always going to say yes, and I wish you would just say no.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to start saying no. And I'm going to say, you told me to say no.
Please.
Then you get all the heat.
Exactly. I've got some 5-star reviews here. Well, ooh, some 5, some 4. Okay. First one from Eddie of California says, great show, 5 stars. Helwani is one of the best commentators in all fightdom, with a subtle verbal ground and pound game. His MMA show is a must-watch or listen show for any MMA fan and flannel shirt lovers.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, one more 5-star review here from Jackie. Says, Tuesdays are much more bearable. I've been listening to Ariel for a long time and love the show. Having DC has only made it better. Just wanted to say I love the show and you guys are great together. I got to work on this Tuesday morning and I was dragging. And then I remembered, a new episode of DC and Ariel is out. Let me tell you guys, my Tuesday is immediately off to a better start. Much love and keep it coming, my dudes.
Wow. That is very nice. Thank you, Jackie. I always love hearing that, especially when people say they use this as an escape valve. I heard from our friend Dom, by the way, from last week, told me that his heart surgery was a success. So I'm very happy to hear that as well. I wish him a very speedy recovery. And I appreciate all of you who continue to rate, download, subscribe, and review. By the way, I see a lot of Jabroni podcasts out there that have like 17,000 likes or whatever it is, like reviews. That's such nonsense. I know what you guys are doing. You're telling people to like download and then not download and then download again and then like review. No, that's fake. That's why I don't pay attention to any of these ranking things. I know what you all do, and I just wanted to ask all the listeners of this show to do the same if possible. That would be great. I'd love to be able to, you know, be chart toppers ourselves. In any event, I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much for listening and doing all that you do, reviewing, downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing, all that stuff and more. And I appreciate everyone who joined us today as well. Dylan Danis, Darren Till, thank you very much to them. A reminder, UFC back this Saturday. Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, against the boa constrictor himself, Alexei Oleinik. That's on ESPN+. We are rapidly approaching UFC 252, 10 days away at this point, so that's big business. And then, of course, on Monday, I'll be back with Daniel Cormier, and we'll
we'll also be joined by Ben Askren, because Cormier is not going to stick around for the entire thing because he's got a lot of things to do, a lot of preparations for his big title fight, which at that point will be 5 days away. So Funky Ben is going to tag in and we'll have a grand old time. For now, though, I'm out of time. Thank you very much, TST. Thanks to all of you. I love you all. Enjoy the fights this weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.